KVOE, live and local, presents City Commission Candidate Spotlights. Brought to you by the RV Dock, 618 Industrial. Repairs for your RV for over 26 years. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless. And by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the area's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424-226.
This is Candidate Spotlight on KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com. As we get closer and closer to the City Commission General Election, November 4th, and we're pleased to have with us Travis Hitt to wrap up our Candidate Spotlight series. Travis, good morning. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Good. We are always starting with our candidates really asking, what got you interested in running? In your case, you've run a couple of times. So what was it about this cycle that made you go ahead and throw your hat in the ring again?
There's a lot of things that I imagine all the candidates. There's a lot of things that I see in Emporia that we can do better. There's a lot of things we're doing right that I think need to continue to be supported as well. But largely, I don't feel like a lot of the people I've spoken with don't feel represented very well, and myself included. So that's kind of why I'm here, is to try and bring everybody to the table, involve all the stakeholders, and make sure that whatever directions we're taking, whatever actions we're doing, that they serve all of Emporia.
Typically, I'd go straight into business experience now, but since you have run a couple of times, and especially the last election, garnered a pretty significant percentage of the votes, even though you weren't elected on. What did those experiences, or how did those experiences maybe shape your run this time around, whether it's with issues or with how you're approaching the campaign?
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting to use the terminology like running for public office, because I don't feel like that's what I'm doing. It's more like a brisk walk at best. I've run a couple of times, as you said, and had good support. For me, it feels less like something I'm trying to do so much as I really feel like it's a calling, that like it's a responsibility I have to my community to step up and provide any help, or apply the my experiences and my knowledge on different areas to try and work best for everybody.
Speaking of that, let's talk about your work experience, because that's varied. You've been in the hospitality industry for a number of years now. Talk about your work experience and how that also helps give you the experience that would help you to be a good city commissioner.
I've always been a people person, right? And I'm generally speaking, I find my satisfaction in what I do from being behind the scenes and making things happen. Particularly, I've found some success in the area of being able to do things that many thought were impossible, or almost dismissed as being impossible, or, oh, we tried that 25 years ago, or we did whatever, and it's times change and circumstances change, people change, our needs change. And so I feel like my life experience and the things that I've done, the years I spent as a first out firefighter and EMT here in Emporia, the number of people I've got to meet there, the number of homes in any neighborhood that I've been into to help assist with somebody's worst day, I think has given me kind of some keen insight into how Emporia really lives. And most people, we have the highest unemployment in the state. Our taxes are high. Our property values are, by all accounts, fairly well inflated, which means a lot of people are upside down in their homes. And it's. I think the community needs some relief, and I don't feel like the people that we have making decisions right now are taking any of that into account.
Well, let's dive into the issues, and let's start here with the one that you mentioned just right now, property taxes. There's been a lot of conversation. Every year there's conversation about property taxes around the budgetary cycle. Especially this year, there's a number of people that came to the city commission meeting and made your exact point. You know, property taxes are too high. There's a number of studies that say Emporia, for cities, its general size is either at or near the top when it comes to property tax burden. Why do you see the property tax burden is as rough as it is here for city folks here?
I mean, it really comes down to, what are we doing with the money, right? Like, I think most people, as much as we may grumble a little bit when we see our paycheck and how much money has gone to somewhere else, I think most people look at that and say, okay, you know, well, that makes the engine turn. You know, that's what makes it all jive. But that's just one side of it. You know, we end up with the property taxes and things, and then it's like, it's really easy to ask yourself the question of, like, what am I getting for what I'm paying for? And I think our value of goods versus or services versus what we're paying for it are skewed. There's a number of reasons for that. Obviously, the economy does what it does. And, you know, with or without political influence or tariffs or things on a national level, all of that trickles down and affects us. But there just seems to be a general attitude of in Emporia that, you know, the people that are making the decisions don't seem to understand that most people are strapped and making serious life decisions on whether it's food versus entertainment or housing, and everybody's just needs a little relief. And I think if everybody who is putting these budgets together and everybody who's setting mill levies and things were to evaluate those things, I think we'd end up a little closer to, it's kind of like if you really want to see what's going on in Emporia, walk outside and talk to your neighbor. The national news doesn't tell you what's going on in Emporia. KVOE does a great job, but if you really want to see what's like for people, go out and have a conversation with your neighbor, and I think we'll all realize that we're all a little more connected than we thought, and that we're all facing some of the same problems and things. And I just think there's room to fix those problems. But when we have taxing authorities that refuse to come to the table to have conversations with the city or the school district or people about any consolidation efforts or that kind of thing, when we're spending money to market Emporia and do things, but we have groups that we're paying all of them, but they're not only not working together, they're oftentimes working against each other. You know, I think we want to see the same way we would in our home budget, that where are we putting our money to do the most good in our lives? And I think that that's seriously skewed.
I want to jump into the economic development groups in just a second, because I think I know where you're going with that question. But I wanted to go a little deeper into the property tax side of things, because you mentioned here about, you know, potential partners at the table, or in this case, not. The city several months ago floated the joint property tax task force, and at least had reached out to the county, Emporia Public Schools, and Emporia Recreation Commission, and they've all tabled for a variety of reasons. I'll start by asking you, do you believe that was the right step to take to reach out to those? And then I'm going to tangent into, do you believe that other partners should at least been reached out to?
I think that was a good start. I think that, I think we need to be doing everything we can to one, not only make the appropriate actions for your constituents to do what's best for your community, but the other side of it is that there's a educational piece that maybe somebody didn't sit in 20 hours worth of meetings and study sessions and didn't visit the place and take the tour and see the, you know, but there's a responsibility as a leader, I believe, to make sure that not only you're making the best decisions, but you're making sure the community knows why you're making those decisions. And if I really believe that communication solves most problems, and if there's a disconnect between what we're doing that we feel is best for the community and what the community thinks is best for the community, then we've got work to do. Like, we need to make sure that everybody knows what we're dealing with, and ultimately, you're never going to get all the people on board all the time. Some people just like to complain. Some days, I'm one of them, but I try and have a cup of coffee in the morning to snap out of that.
Sure.
But I think we really need to make sure that everything we're doing is done with good information, with good intent, and with good communication.
With the task force, at least for now, on hold, and directions on that totally pending at this point in time, do you believe that this would be the time maybe for the city maybe to strike out on its own and start doing its own property tax reductions? And if so, how do you reduce property taxes and then keep the levels of services at or near what residents have come to expect?
Well, I think we run the risk of overcomplicating it the more zeros we add, you know. But I think it's the same way, like, in your home when you're faced with issues that, you know what, there was a storm last night and a tree fell on the roof, and so now we have roof damage and water damage and maybe a vehicle damage. Plus, we got to pay somebody to come cut it down and do whatever. Instances like that will dramatically change the entire financial landscape of your household for months, maybe even longer. And I feel like obviously the good plan is to be you know we've got a savings account or to prepare for these type of things so that we don't have to worry about how we're going to eat or how we're going to pay for gas to get to work or how we're going to keep the lights on or any of that. And I feel like the city needs more money in reserve. At the same time, I feel like we need to, across the board, look at our spending and figure out, you know, do we need to buy a new mower every year, or could we spend a fraction of that money in a maintenance program so that mower lasts 2 or 3 years? And across the board, if every department could do that and try and figure out how to make cuts, you know, now we've got some money to work with. I firmly believe that, like, we spend a lot of money to hire consultants to tell us what to do, and then we don't listen because it doesn't jive with what our commissioners or people want to do, largely for their own interests. You know, like, I think there's lots of things we could do to try and do everything we can to keep our part of the mill levy down, as well as I think we need to have some serious talks with the county and talk about services and things. Obviously, Emporia is the largest community in Lyon County, but there's a lot of questions I'm seeing online and things now about whether Emporia is getting equal representation when it comes to the money that the county spends on roads or those sorts of things. And like, it really just comes down to the ultimate question of, like, what am I paying for? What are we getting? And, you know, is that fair to everybody, and are there ways that we can reduce those costs at the same time saving money so that when something bad does happen, we're not just held over a barrel?
Absent, you know, or I shouldn't say absent, but with the Lyon County Commission tabling its side of the discussion, and I'm going to go strictly to them because we haven't really touched much on the school district and the rec commission, but with county government being, you know, the overall branch of government that would probably be the most closest resembling city government, how do you, or what steps do you think the city should take to bring the county to the table, especially on this particular topic?
I mean, I don't know that we have a whole lot of power to compel them to do anything. You know,
persuade. You can, let me just put that.
I mean, you can tell you when it's dinner time, you can tell your kids to come to the table, right? But I don't know that we can compel them to come to the table. I think really what it boils down to is I think our citizens need to make sure that anytime anybody, you know, county commissioners or rec board or school board or anybody, anytime you see them out in public, like, that's your opportunity to let them know whether you're satisfied or dissatisfied with what they're doing. Same way with city commissioners. And I think if we just sit back and we don't exercise our voice in that way, then how could they possibly fix anything? But I personally think that there's several ways that we can look at consolidating between city and county government. Several other cities have done it and do it successfully. We've consolidated our dispatch and communications department with, you know, between the city, the sheriff's department, police department, and such, fire department. Like, that's a good first step, you know. But we are also building an insanely expensive building for a training center and new dispatch facility out by the city landfill. And it's another public project with a high price tag.
Let me ask you, before we take our break here on the candidate spotlight again with City Commission candidate Travis Hitt, the consolidation side of things. You mentioned here emergency communications. At least for now, where do you see some other potential? Because I'm assuming you're not going to go for the full city-county consolidation. That seems to have been a step that a lot of people are shy, you know, they may have considered, but they've shied away from. Or would you say a full city county consolidation would be the right way to go?
I would say I would love to see some information from people that, dare I say, experts or people who could tell us what that would look like, could tell us how, one, how that would perform, and two, how would that affect the taxpayer, right? Like, are we going to get any bang for our buck, or are we just going to lose some services? Are we going to muddy the ground where nobody knows who's responsible for anything? You know, those sorts of things. But there's a big glaring one right off the bat. The county owns a ton of road equipment and things. Are they using it, or are we hiring out and contracting with other people to do it? And if we are using it to do our own road work and repair and things, are we qualified to do that? Or are we wasting money and somebody's got to come back and redo America's road again? Where does that equipment sit? Could we move it around to a different yard so it's strategically located? And now when we have a major snow event, the county vehicles are pushing snow on city roads because very few people in the county are going anywhere. Most of the county are pretty resilient. They've got enough meat in the freezer and things that, like, as long as they can get out to check livestock and that sort of thing, they might not need to come to town for a while. But even if they need to come to town, the people that need to get to Bluestem to go to work have to, you know, are driving on roads that are not taken care of well and things. So there's always things, I think, that we can identify, like, you know, like, what are my resources? It's like you walk into the kitchen, you're like, I'm going to make something. And you open the fridge, and what do I have? Oh, I got a little bit of milk. I got some butter. I got whatever. Here's what I can make with that. So let's look at all the money that we've spent, all the money we continue to spend on city and county equipment and services and personnel, and say, what can I make with this?
Makes sense. Now, really quickly, you'd mentioned here about the emergency dispatch center, which is in the process of getting closer to construction, at least based off of county action recently. And this will be the last question before we take our break, is clearly you've got some concerns about that, whether it's the building itself, the process of getting there. What is your concern, and do you believe that a new emergency dispatch center is needed? Is that the right place for it?
I'm not at all going to argue. At my tenure at the fire department, we went through several different radio systems, you know, as technology got better. And it's like we started with the hand-me-downs from the police department. And, you know, like they'd gotten a new setup. And so then it's sitting in a box and they said, hey, you know, let's use it here. And some of it worked great for us for a while. And then our needs changed, or we outgrew, or there was a push to do the narrow banding and move everybody more towards the 800 megahertz thing, which is absolutely immeasurable as far as its value in the emergency world, because now we're not necessarily relying off repeater towers and things as much. You can be on an emergency services call out in the county somewhere where otherwise we wouldn't have had great reception, but now we do, and we can you know, the first eyes on scene can assess the situation and determine who else needs to come. And we can save a lot of time in that regard. It's much easier for us to communicate with other area agencies that we have mutual aid agreements with and things that come and help us out to communicate with the life team or other ambulance services, other emergency services and other places where we're working together on large incidents. So, I think technology will continue to drive those things. The better software programs our dispatchers have to be able to know what questions to ask, to be able to know what resources and things, identify needs and all of that, as well as just function. That when the phone rings, you shouldn't get a busy signal at 911. And our communications department has been really great at handling that. And I think that that's a classic example of where the city and the county have worked together to say, listen, we could both spend the same amount of money or more and end up with two different systems, or we could consolidate and save the taxpayers some money, and we've got something everybody can work with. And so I think those areas are important to be able to figure that out. As far as the building goes, it's in the basement of the police department, which is probably not a bad spot for it, proximity wise to the actual officers and people that are doing things. Is that necessary? I don't know, but it just to me it seems like a better idea to have it in with one of your buildings, particularly as the ability to function as a command center in emergency situations, to be able to be adjacent to much of your services.
Travis Hitt joining us here on the Canada Spotlight. We're back with our second segment after this on KVOE.
Make the educated choice when it comes to your vote. Emporia State Federal Credit Union is the sponsor of this year's Candidate Spotlight. These one-on-one interviews give you a chance to hear the thoughts of each candidate as they relate to the pressing issues affecting our community. Then be sure to head to the polls on Tuesday, November 4th to make your voice count. Emporia State Federal Credit Union, with two convenient locations in Emporia, is here for all your financial needs.
The RV Doc is ready to winterize your RV or fifth wheel. Don't get caught with frozen water lines when the RV Doc is here to help. He'll drain and blow out the lines, as well as remove water filters and add antifreeze. Now is also a great time to take care of any other repairs that may need done. Call the RV Doc for an appointment today. 342-0702. 342-0702. And get winterized.
This is Allison of Mel's Tire. We offer a full line of Yokohama tires. Yokohama Geolander AT4, Yokohama Geolander MTG003, and the Yokohama Avid Ascend LX. So whether you're on or off-road, Yokohama tires will get you where you're going safely. And while you're here for tires, we can service your vehicle as well. Our experienced certified staff can handle repairs, including brakes, shocks, tune-ups, alignments, and more. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham, your Yokohama dealer. Where service isn't expensive, it's priceless.
Our second segment with Travis Hitt, City Commission candidate, our candidate spotlight here on KVOE here this morning. Earlier segment, in case you missed it, we were talking about property taxes. Also, diving a little bit into city-county relations to a degree, and also taking a look at some potential consolidation. Now we're going to go into restructuring, and specifically with Economic Development Partners and the RDA with the lead on that, especially over the last several months. Obviously, the length of the search has been part of our coverage here over the last few months, with the permanent president position at the RDA being open since early last year. And then you've also had the recent restructuring of the board structure, board membership here earlier this year as well. Starting off the conversation, given the specifically the restructuring process, do you believe that the fact that it's been a lengthy period of time here to get an RDA president, permanent president in place, is reasonable, for lack of a better term?
I think we're facing a couple of different issues there. One, that board situation is kind of in turmoil. There's a lot of upheaval there that, with Kent Hearman retiring and trying to find a replacement, and then, you know, the city calling for some oversight and requesting additional board seats or representation and things. There's a lot of there's a lot of stuff going on there, and I don't know. I'm not going to pretend that I have all of the answers and know the best way to solve those problems. But there's just some glaring things that I think most anybody that has ever worked a job or ever paid a bill can say, you know what? Why are we spending our money the way we do? What are we getting for it? And I think, you know, in terms of the RDA, much of what they do, and maybe the industry is such that it needs to be proprietary secrets and whatnot, but the RDA has never really had much accountability to the city of Emporia or to its citizens. It's kind of done its thing, and certainly some immeasurable success with bringing some industries to town and different stuff. My concern would be is, what is our reputation in the development world? You know, do people want to come to Emporia? Do we have a reputation of being hard to work with? Or trying to pick and choose what industry's coming or whatever? Do we give incentives to one developer? Are we creating TIF and TDD districts and things for people? And there's no real teeth to our agreements and things. So, you know, we create a TIF district. We pay for all the infrastructure improvements and take out bonds. And then they never got around to building until our bonds are due. So now we're pulling money out of our general fund to pay for bonds, and we hadn't planned on doing that because the money was supposed to be there from additional tax revenue. And what's the recourse with that? Like, you know, when somebody just pulls out of a project or it sits for years, and then we as a city have to pay to remediate the site because we never built the biodiesel plant or we never did these things. I think there's lots of people have questions about the purchases that the city makes, or how we, you know, the money we spend on land to be able to prepare for future development and industrial parks, that sort of thing. It seems like without a lot of consulting of the community and without getting stakeholders involved and things, we tend to make decisions to ramrod things through, and then, like, we're left holding the bag. The Kretzinger addition would be a classic example of that. Oh my gosh, we have to have all this housing, we have to have all this stuff, and so we're doing all these things, and then it doesn't materialize, but we still put out a lot of money for it.
Let me shift back over to the RDA really quickly, and this may wind up being our last question. We'll see if we get another one in, but the restructuring that took place where, you know, you had new voting membership for a couple of organizations that were part of the board but didn't have the voting membership, expanding the voting just numbers in general terms. Do you believe that was the right way to restructure? And dovetailing off of that question to your last answer, how does restructuring, whether it's this form or not, give that accountability here for the RDA that you clearly feel needs to be out there?
Well, I think that the more representation we can get, the better. The less closed door secretive meetings and things happen, the more communication, the more our leaders, whether they're public service or paid private service that's supposed to do our bidding for us, I think that, again, they have that responsibility to one, be an advocate, and then two, to inform. And I think that's the biggest disconnect, is that a lot of people are like, well, what does the RDA even do? You stop a lot of people on the street, and that's probably the question you're going to get. That, like, well, you know, I'm not sure, because I'm not sure what they're responsible for. And then when you start talking about, well, what does the RDA do? Well, wait, doesn't the CVB and the chamber do that? Doesn't Emporia Main Street do that? Doesn't Ignite or any of these other programs do that. And I think that any money we spend on a public level needs to have a clearly established performance metric of what it is we're looking for, what are the goals, what are you trying to accomplish. And when you come back to us for an allocation next year, show us that you've accomplished those goals or where you're at working towards those. And secondly, I think that every single one of those needs to also have some sort of a metric for how well did we work with other people who also received an allocation. Because there was a time I remember we bought a big ad in one of the magazines, you know, to attract tourists to Emporia, and Main Street bought their own ad, and Chamber and CVB bought their own ad, and we could have just paid for one ad and put the schedule of events on the page for both groups. Right? Why are we working against each other? Like, there's money sitting set aside in the account. My understanding is $140,000 set aside for a program for Main Street and the CVB and Chamber to work together, and it's still sitting there because for whatever reason that hasn't happened. One of the exciting things I think happening in Emporia right now is that we do have a lot of changeover. We're looking for a new leader of the RDA. We've got a new chamber president. We've got new CVB people. We've got Kmart, one of our awesome Emporia Warriors. She's going over to Jones Foundation and mm-hmm. going to be able to pick up that torch and do amazing things. And I think that we're primed like never before for a young, energetic base of people who've come in that love Emporia, care about Emporia, and have demonstrated that and want to help Emporia grow and make this a better place to live. And it's really hard not to get behind that.
Indeed. Well, we've got other questions. We're going to have to let those go for now. Travis, in case folks would like to learn more about your platform, the different really goals and objectives you have as a city commissioner, how do they get that information from you?
You know what? You're welcome to I'm somewhat hesitant to give my phone number out
sure,
on the air,
understood.
But it's there. Google it. I'm not hard guy to get a hold of. My email address is hittravis@yahoo.com. And I'm pretty good at sorting through the spam these days. I've had the same email address for 30 years, so it's sometimes difficult. But you're welcome to email me, or I own and operate 10 West Grill and Dive Bar, and you're always welcome to stop in. Let's have a conversation. Heck, I'll buy you a beer or a cheeseburger. I'm absolutely interested in any ways that anybody feels that we could do a better job of representing all Emporians and building a better place to live for everybody.
Outstanding. Travis, really appreciate your time with us. Best of luck here on the campaign as we wrap things up here next month.
All right, thank you.
Travis Head, our candidate spotlight guest here today on KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com. All the information you need, live and local.
Emporia City Commission Candidate Spotlights on KVOE has been brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the area's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424226. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless. And by the RV Dock, 618 Industrial, repairs for your RV for over 26 years. KVOE, live and local.